to the Play It By Ear podcast, the podcast where the topics may vary because, hey, we play it by ear. And now your hosts, Eric Fiscus, Brady Liming, and Todd Griffin.
Well, welcome to episode 36 of the Play It By Ear podcast. I'm Eric Fiscus. I have two words before we start this pot tie.
Waffle ayus.
Ayus.
Nice.
Scattered, splattered, and chunked.
Absolutely. All right. Welcome my co-host, Brady Liming.
Hello.
Todd Griffin.
Hello.
Welcome back from the epizootic.
Thank you.
Your loss of voice. Your
ick.
Yes, the ick. We have a few announcements to make, and one very exciting one, in my opinion. Very exciting in the fact that it will make my housekeeping duties much easier. I want to announce our new website, and our website is playitbyearpodcast.com.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and I'll share that with you here.
Playitbyear.com, the launching of the website.
Look at it.
Behold its glory.
There it is. That's our website. And of course, you see the menu on the top. Meet the host if you want to know all of our intimate details, especially Todd. He wrote a book. You'll know all about Todd.
Yeah, you guys.
I'm building the mystery.
Yes, intrigue.
I cut half of it.
Yeah, no, that was after the edit. Nice. Play it by ear isms. We're putting together a dictionary of our terms that we use on the show. Some of you may have jumped on here in the middle, and we say things, and you say, hey, what are they saying? What does that mean? And
like our fist.
Fist, yes, that will be one of them. Or, so when that gets complete, it's kind of a work in progress on the website. We have news, upcoming events. We have the audio and our links that I usually go through again on the all that housekeeping business. And we have our RSS feed, so you can click on any of these and listen to that particular episode. We also have our video, which we are currently broadcasting out to YouTube and Twitch. And there are links to our pages on those outlets. Also, our social media pages, which are up here on the top. We have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then again our YouTube and Twitch links. So those are all right at hand. And if you have any questions at all, you can look at playitbyearpodcast.com. You can also contact us at admin@playitbyearpodcast.com. So that's our new email address.
So if you're looking for three podcast hosts to MC your wedding or your bar mitzvah, you can hire us through this website.
Yeah, I suppose you could. If you think we're of that talent, which
your gender reveals for your children.
Hey, what's with the other view you just had?
Oh, the triangular view. That was just the share the screen view when you're not sharing the screen.
Oh, I kind of like it better, but
the podcast triangle.
Yeah. It's
mysterious. You fly in, you'll never leave us.
Whatever you like. All right. So that's our website, playitbyearpodcast.com. Have a look at it. You can always give us some. By the way, I forgot one thing. Please register with us on that opening page. If you scroll all the way down on the bottom, you can register with our website. You can get updates for our show via email, and that'll give us contact information for you. So please do so. We hope to have also some announcements on swag in time for Black Friday shopping. So that will be available through the website as well. So we're very excited about that. We hope you enjoy that as well. All right.
I could say we failed on one piece of merchandise. I did search into the Play by Ear ferret sweaters. They are not available, and I apologize. Those will not be on the website.
To be announced.
But the sugar glider tank tops will be.
Yes.
All right. Joe.
Modern
from
fit.
Monmouth, Illinois.
Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Greetings from Monmouth.
Brady, your mom and daughter are watching, so be careful.
Howdy.
All right. Again, as always, chime in. Please sign in, as they said on Watch Your Line. Comment on Facebook. We'll acknowledge your presence here, because we always enjoy the 20 of you that are in the room right now, or one of our various rooms, because we are now broadcasting to our podcast page, my personal page, Brady's personal page, Todd's personal page, Twitch, and YouTube, and Twitter. So we're just all over the place.
We're
like a plague. All over the place.
In bedrock. Who are we, the Flintstones?
Yes. Twitch. Twitch.
All right. So with all that being said and done, we're off to our first topic. I don't know that we even really talked about who was going first.
We didn't.
So it doesn't matter.
Maybe I'm the host. Oh, Joe, that's a good question. No, we're not on MySpace. I mean, this is not really 2007.
I miss MySpace.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
It was complicated, but it was a simple time.
Who was Matt Young? Oh, hi. Look who it is.
Howdy, howdy.
Amazing. Hello, Karen. Or Morelli. I'm sorry, is your married name. Todd, one of your teachers is watching.
I know.
One of all of our teachers.
Two of my teachers.
Two teachers.
Yeah.
Ha, ha.
Now we better behave for true, right?
I was always well behaved.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, I guess I'm the host. I designate who goes first. Brady?
There you go.
You go first.
Brady's going first.
Want me to go first? Okay. So, it's kind of being spontaneous, and something caught my eye. And as Emo Phillips used to say, it caught my eye and dragged it 15 feet. Old joke there. But there are famous vehicles in TV and movies, and we've all pined for them at some point. There has been multiple movie and TV vehicles that we loved. We would have liked to have had. We would have. Sorry, I'm laughing at Miss Wilson there. Why be start behaving now? And but anyway, so let's talk about sets of wheels in movies and TV. And
Let me start out by saying that we are the least, I don't know, there's nothing that is car person about any of us. So this is all based on the nostalgia, the you know, like you said, the movie, the show. We aren't car people. So I would like to point that out before, because there's going to be somebody that catches something we say about one of these cars, the engine or the wheels or something. And we are not car people, so we know nothing of what we talk about other than coolness factor.
So all opinions expressed here are our own.
Our own.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Eric, did you get the link that I sent you?
Yes. Did you email it?
It might have gone via text message instead of email, but I could rectify that. But
well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you read the list there? You know.
Okay. And then Eric will. So obviously the first one on the list, I'm sure, is probably about 60% of our listening audience, the one they would choose, and that is the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard. The General Lee. And it is a car that even the least mechanically inclined person, as a Ute, you wanted to slide in through the window.
Oh yeah.
Wanted to straighten the curves and flatten the hills in it and let out a hearty yee-haw, which we did a few times as teenagers. We yelled out a hearty yee-haw without being in the General Lee. And so Generally, your thoughts, fellows, is that one that you would want to cruise around town in today?
Go ahead, Don. I was just going to say, you know, we're just getting started. Coolness factor for me on that one is there's not much you could do with it other than just drive it, ride in it, you know, get away from Boss Hogg and Roscoe. But it didn't do much other than, again, it was just a getaway vehicle, essentially.
Yeah. It would be interesting for road rage. Like somebody cuts you off. There's something way less threatening about that. Instead of the angry honk, you know, so that would be kind of interesting.
Okay. So I have a question on that.
Sure. Note.
The General Lee, Daisy's yellow, whatever that was.
Jeep.
Challenger or, well, I don't know what that was.
She didn't have the Jeep.
She did have the Jeep.
Oh, she had
after the yellow car.
Yeah, that is true. It was post-accident, wasn't it?
I was thinking Uncle Jesse had the Jeep. Was it Uncle Jesse's Jeep and it was just handed
Uncle
down?
Uncle Jesse had the old pickup truck, the white pickup truck.
That's right, yeah.
And Daisy, after she wrecked her yellow car, they got her a tricked-up Jeep that had like an eagle. A very Trans Am looking-ish eagle on the hood, if I remember correct.
That is correct.
So the General Lee, that is the ilk we're talking about. And by the way, we encourage our listeners to chime in on this anytime.
Especially maybe telling us, does anyone know what make and model the car was? Again, we are not car people.
I do know it was a Dodge Charger.
Dodge Charger.
I can't tell you what year it was.
Yeah.
But I do know that they had, like, when they filmed the show, they had like 20 of them. So they could wreck a few of them. There we are. There's the General Lee. And here comes the next one. Go ahead.
Can we go a different direction with this now that we have the list up and invisible? So let's kind of go around here and determine. Like the question is, the keys are in the ignition. You can only take one. Which do you choose? Maybe we go which one of these we choose and why, instead of kind of going through each of them.
Sure. I can tell you what mine is.
Well, I know what yours is, but
I think you will be shocked.
Go ahead.
Now, I know what you gentlemen think I'm going to choose. And you think I'm going to choose the white Lamborghini at the bottom left-hand corner from Miami Vice. But that was my second favorite Miami Vice car. Sorry, the original Ferrari, their black Daytona, was the one I would choose. But far and away, my first choice is the red Ferrari from Magnum PI. Now, the Miami Vice is close second, but Magnum's red Ferrari is synonymous with cool. That is the ultimate.
I can see that. I was thinking you were going to pick the Miami Vice car. I'm wondering why we have the Magnum car, but didn't I'm pretty sure that Hardcastle and McCormick had some cool cars in it as well. Why is it not on there?
Well,
I
have never thought of Hardcastle and McCormick and cool in the same sense.
I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure the intro there were some shiny red sports cars, and I know that. Yake and the Fatman. Pretty sure they had some cool cars. And I know Riptide, the boys in Riptide had Simon and Simon. That's what I'm thinking of. So I demand
didn't
to extend
they have a
this
truck. Bit. Didn't Simon and Simon have like a big old dually kind of truck?
Well, I don't think they owned it together. They were.
That would just be Simon.
All right. So now for the benefit of our audio audience, I'm going to read the list here of cars that are on. If the ignition had the keys in it, which one would you take? So we have the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard. We have the Back to the Future Lamborghini.
DeLorean,
excuse me. You got Heresy. Lamborghini in my mind there with Miami Vice. Kit from Knight Rider. The Starsky and Hutchmobile. The James Bond. I don't know what kind of car that
Aston is. Martin.
Aston Martin. Okay, something. Thank you. The Mad Max vehicle, whatever kind of car that is. The Ghostbusters hearse, ghost busting machine. Did it have a name? I don't know if it had a name. The A-Team van, the Miami Vice.
Lamborghini,
and the Magnum PI.
Ferrari.
Yes. Okay, so Brady says the Magnum PI Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
Todd?
I'm going with Miss Karen from earlier. I think I saw where she commented and said that the Knight Rider car, Kit. You got to go with Kit.
Because?
I mentioned the General Lee. There was not much you could do other than outrun the inept law. I don't think it was a very useful car other than that, where Kit, you pretty much, Kit is almost like the, Brady, what is your?
Uh-oh.
He's frozen.
I heard my name mentioned and
yes,
there was a boing sound.
Yeah. Well, while he's frozen here, I'm going to go through some of the comments. Scott, yes, it was a 69 Charger. I couldn't remember what year it was. I knew it was a Charger. One of them, maybe it was Daisy's. It was a Challenger.
I think you're right. Because I know this is car sacrilege, but I have a hard time telling the difference between Chargers and Challengers.
Yeah. I went away there for a second. But what I was getting at is, Brady, you say that Superman is too super.
Mm-hmm.
That's his weakness, is that you just think he's too super. I think Kit could probably be about the same. I mean, Kit can do anything that you need him to do.
Need an oil slick to evade communists?
Exactly.
You got it. Some shrapnel to bust the tires? Done.
Yeah, I just need someone to just...
before there was GPS.
Yeah, just Kit someone to talk it. To you on a lonely night home.
Hello, Todd. Are you awake?
In your leather jacket with no shirt underneath, so your chest hair showing.
And big in Germany.
Yeah.
Do you know who the voice was of Kit?
I do know, but it just...
I don't think I know this.
No, I'm a Staying Elsewhere fan, so I think of him as...
Howie Mandel?
No. That's Dr. Fiskus on Staying Elsewhere. No, not Howie Mandel. William Daniels. John Adams in 1776.
What? Yes.
My first thought was John Larroquette, but I get that mixed up. He was he read the beginning, the intro to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Huh.
The beginning, really? Yeah, the beginning part that talks about the macabre events of
macabre. Yeah, macabre. Don't you have to say macabre?
TV's Dan.
TV's Dan.
William Daniels, also Dr. Craig on Staying Elsewhere, and on Boy Meets World, Mr. Feeny.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. So,
something for everyone in our audience, every age group in our audience.
Yes.
One of his roles. Okay. Other comments. Miss Wilson would choose the Munsters vehicle. That's a good choice. Good.
Can I tell you which one I'm shocked is not on this list?
What's that?
The Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am.
Ooh, that is a egregious omission from this list.
Yeah.
Yes.
Celia says Back to the Future car, as long as I had unlimited plutonium or Mr. Fusion, but couldn't you just throw anything in Mr. Fusion? It was like a garbage disposal of sorts.
I think it was. The time travel aspect would be fun. A lot of pressure with that.
Jim also says the time machine has to be the one to steal. Matt also has an egregious omission from this list. Mike Brady shagging wagon.
Right up there with the family truckster from National Lampoon's Vacation.
Essentially the same car.
It is.
They just threw some paneling on the side.
Do you mean the metallic?
Metallic P-E-E.
Yes.
Yes. Sounds like a kidney problem.
That was an earlier episode.
Yes. Go ahead, Eric.
Starsky was a Gran Torino or Torino. That's true. Thank you, Jerry. I'd forgotten the name of the vehicle, and I knew there was a car like that in Sardinia. The Starsky and Hutch mobile.
Was it red and white?
It was.
It was.
Exactly.
I don't know who exactly owned it, but I know the owner worked at Ellis's Feed Mill because it was always parked there.
I think she worked at Johnny and Judy's.
Ah. Well, one of those Sardinia establishments.
Yes. Joe says the Gadget Mobile.
Gadget.
Howard William, the Ghostbusters vehicle was Ecto-1. I'd forgotten that. That's true.
And Howard William McLean, I'm surprised that you didn't opine with a loud Batmobile.
Oh, yes. Now, that was an omission on here.
Yeah.
Amy Stuckey also was Starsky and Hutch. Daisy did have a Jeep.
The Ghostbusters, the, what was it called? Ecto-1 or the
Ecto-1.
Ecto-1. I go with that. I kind of put that in the same category as the General Lee. Other than the equipment that was strapped to it to encase ghosts, I don't know that it was much of a special vehicle. I mean, it didn't, you know, no warp speed, no, again, you.
But just how awesome would you feel just driving that through town?
You mean the equipment that was strapped up again it?
Up again, but not in it, yes.
We hope not.
Don't cross the streams, gentlemen.
Don't cross the streams, yeah.
And I agree with Ms. Wilson. I would do the same if I had kid. I would have him sing John Adams parts from 1776. Agreed. Mindy says James Bond Aston Martin would be her pick.
I knew she would choose that.
Classy pick.
So, my dear sister Mindy, do you want the one that turns into a submarine? Or the one that would go underwater? Because that might throw it in my direction too.
I think Amy is on the same page I am. It says, and does the A-Team van come with the A-Team? Otherwise, it's just a random bulletproof van. Again, the A-Team van is nothing special.
Oh, no, it's a stabbing wagon.
Minus the A-Team.
Or stabbing cabin.
Well, does it come with the A-Team, and does it come with the hardware, the armor?
Amy was driving it. Whatever would be in it would be the A-Team.
Just one member of the A-Team would be cool. If it were Hannibal, that would be...
One of my life heroes, Hannibal Smith.
I pity the fool that's riding backseat driving my stabbing cabin.
He never said that in the 18. Never said it. That was a Rocky thing.
Yes.
Rocky thing.
And Howard William did ask about the Batmobile.
So Howard, 19, Adam West, Batmobile, or Michael Keaton on the modern ones? That would be the question, because, I mean, obviously I would take the modern ones, but man, as a Ute, one of my glory moments was when I finally got to see the Batmobile at the Cavalcade of Customs at the Cincinnati Convention Center.
Mindy answered your question.
Yes.
Didn't care for the submarine. Joe Rocky also with a egregious omission here. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, not on the list.
What a creepy ass movie that is to watch as a Ute.
Yeah. We all know what Toot Tweet was really talking about.
Indeed. So I haven't given my pick here.
Please do.
Would that be the lollipop vehicle from the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Is that what he's talking about? Or the
just the jalopy that does everything.
Right. When it flies through the air and such.
I'm picturing, wasn't the guy with the lollipops trying to kidnap the children's by giving them lollipops?
Pretty sure
that happened in that movie.
Sweet.
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah. creepy movie.
Dick frickin' Van Dyke.
Joe also with another egregious omission, Herbie.
Yes. I forgot about Herbie.
Okay. Eric? So from our given list here, what would be my pick? And I would also have to go with the time machine. I mean, there's so limitless possibilities, again, based upon the fact, as Celia said, if you had the fuel for said time machine, you know, that's...
Or should we call you Biff?
Biff, yes. Howard William Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was written by Sir Ian Fleming, author of James Bond, and there is your circle.
Blowing my mind as usual, Howard.
Yes.
There you go. Howard, can you confirm... Can you confirm that there was a guy trying to capture children by driving around with lollipops, please? So I feel somewhat better about that. Yes, I need indication.
Of course, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang starring Dick Blanking Van Dyke. Thank you very
Sandy,
much.
No Sandy Duncan or Don Knotts in this one.
No.
I just thought of one that was left off.
The child catcher. Thank you.
Child catcher.
Vindication.
What else was left off, Brady?
I can't think of classic vintage TV vehicles without thinking of BJ and the Bear's red semi-truck.
BJ McKay and his best friend Bear.
Semi-truck.
That was a pretty, well-known vehicle.
How about the Fall Guy and his, his truck.
Well, and there it is. And by clockwork.
Wow.
Jerry Jewell in with the GMC truck by Colt Seavers, AKA the Fall Guy.
Ooh, I forgot his name is Colt Seavers.
Great name.
That is a stuntman sort of name.
Yeah. That's why Heather Thomas was into him.
Thomas or Locklear?
Thomas. Oh, I thought you meant which one was in the Fall Guy.
No. I'm now saying this or that.
Well, I only got to see one of them at the Cavalcade of Customs, and that was Miss Heather Thomas, so I'm going with
you
her.
You actually got to lay your own mortal eyes on Heather Thomas back in the day?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah, we bonded. No, it was back in the day. I remember, I don't know who I went with. I just remember as a Ute being scooped up and taken to Cincinnati after the Cavalcade of Customs, and she was there.
Yes, Brady, a reminder of your Ute. Your dad had a green Torino.
Actually, Howard, I don't mean to correct you. It was actually powder blue, because that was the Grand Torino that the emergency brake failed as my mom was parking in our driveway. The emergency brake went out of it, and it rolled backwards and took out the brick planter on the driveway. My dad had, we had the green Pinto, but the Grand Torino was sparkly powder blue.
And I vaguely remember that car, actually. You had the green Pinto, which was your first car.
Yes.
But yes, the Torino was powder blue, baby blue.
Yep. Yes, it was.
What about the yellow car that Mr. Miyagi gave Daniel's son for his birthday?
Ooh. Hey.
I don't know what kind of car it was, but...
Now... I don't know what type that is, but when Howard was talking about our cars that we my Ute, I know what my dad's dream car was, and his dream car actually happened to be another famous TV car. If you'll remember Robert Urich's TV show Vegas,
Dan Tana,
the 57 T-Bird, red 57 T-Bird convertible, and that was my dad's dream car. Yep. He said that would be the only car that he would trade his 63 Galaxy for, was that 57 T-Bird.
Jim asked about Steve McQueen's Mustang. I'm not familiar with Steve McQueen's Mustang.
It's green, wasn't it? It's racing, what do they call it? Oh, racing green?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
What was the car... they paid homage to it in the Tarantino movie, Bulletproof. It was like a white Challenger, and it was a famous stunt car. And was that a Steve McQueen reference? I think it was Vertical Horizon was the name of the movie. And it was like a white Dodge Challenger.
Also the name of the band.
Yeah. So,
Jerry Jewell wanted the Adam 12 Matador. I had a Hot Wheel Matador.
We also left off
Grease freaking lightning.
The Fred Sanford and Sons salvage red truck at the beginning of the credits. You knew it was coming.
Oh, yes. All right. So everyone had their choice, some on the list, some not on the list. But a good discussion anyway.
No one picked the Mad Max Mobile.
No one did pick the Mad Max Mobile. Was there anything special about it?
It was the Mad Max Mobile, I think, was more prominent in the original Mad Max movie. But that movie kind of got more popular when the Road Warrior came along. And the car was not as emphasized in the Road Warrior as it was in the Mad Max movie. So I think that's why it slips through the cracks a little bit.
Is that the one that Tina Turner was in?
That would be on Beyond Thunderdome. That was I'll be honest with you, I don't remember if the car was still in that one.
I don't know. I wasn't a big
bandana was.
I wasn't a big Mad Max fan.
I loved the Road Warrior. The other ones, yeah, I could live without. But the Road Warrior was awesome.
All right. Good topic, gentlemen. Thank you, audience, for your input. So now we move on. So, again, we didn't decide what the order was. Todd, you or me?
I'll go. Are you handling a game tonight?
I am handling a game.
So, let's end with the game. I'll go next.
All right. Sounds good.
I apologize. My cough is not quite going away yet.
Still got the croup.
Still got the croup. So, since we try to do a topic, a list, and a game almost every episode, I thought I would handle the list tonight. And what I have is a website with a list of the most popular slang word the year you were born. And I believe it goes from 1940 to 2020.
Wow.
And I haven't looked through this list. When we like to keep it organic. We like to, you know, not do much work before we start.
Hell, we don't do much work when we're on here.
But so what I thought is I'd bring these up and you guys can just feel free to riff on them. I won't really read, you know, there's a little paragraph looks like after each one of them. I don't know that there's much to read with that, but if anyone care, I'll try to get through all of them, but if I don't, and anyone maybe in the audience would like to ask about the year they were born, we could do it that way too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Todd, I was going to ask maybe the audience chime in when they were born, and we already have a chime in.
We have a chime in?
1978.
Okay. Do we want to, is that how we want to do it, or we want to start and do that towards the end?
Hey, it's your topic, man.
Okay. I will start.
Is this the first time that Amy's been a live listener?
No, I think Amy's been here before.
Okay. 1940. The most popular slang term in 1940 was whammy.
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 No whammies.
So, can you use whammy in a sentence?
It just, well, I will say it's it come from the Lil Abner comic strip.
Lil Abner?
That's where it, it was used in the 40s to describe a supernatural power that brings bad luck.
Interesting.
1941, yeehaw.
So let's go back to whammy for a minute. Is that like the pressure luck whammy? Is that what that's supposed to be?
I bet
like
it is.
Supernatural, yeah, it is. Whatever.
I thought it would be. It's like, I don't want that song to sound too much like Wake Me Up Before You Go Go, because that's way too whammy.
Whammy. 41, yeehaw. Exuberant, to express exuberant delight or excitement in imitations of cowboys.
Yeehaw.
1940, we're 70s country schmaltz.
1942, zooty. Zoot suits. It's a reference to zoot suits. This is shocking. 1943, duh.
What?
I can't picture people in 1943 walking around saying duh.
I can't imagine my grandfather telling my mom as a child, well, duh.
It's
Could you imagine a soldier on the Western Front in World War II saying, well, duh.
O'Leary, charge the beach. Do you have your mortar?
Duh.
Duh.
It's used as a way to express actual or feigned ignorance or stupidity.
That's surprising if that's that old.
Yeah, I know.
1944, swabby.
Like a Navy person, right?
It refers to a sailor, specifically a useless or a contemptible one. So I'm assuming maybe used between service members to kind of give the other branches a hard time or something, maybe.
There you go.
1945.
I think I have heard it used in that context.
Yeah. 1945, honcho. A slang term synonymous honcho with boss, a person who exercises control or authority. So like, I guess the head honcho, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
1946, sack out. Let me emphasize that a little bit differently. Sack out.
I think I saw that yearbook photo once.
I think I saw that at an Ogden softball park one afternoon.
So Sorry.
So is it sack out or sack out? Or
sack out. Complexion matters.
It does. Obviously, it means sleeping, you know, hitting the sack or hitting the hay. 1947, party pooper.
Every party has one.
Yes. 1948, patzer. I'm assuming it's patzer. I'm assuming it's a short E. Is it patzer or patzer? An inept chess player.
That is a new one to me.
That is a very specific insult. I mean, like, there's not how many times are you sitting across the chessboard from someone and you're just, what can I call them? I know. You, sir, are a patzer.
Yeah. You, sir, are a patzer.
A patzer.
George Peterson.
Peterson's playing chess with Abe Froman.
Brady, you'll like this one. 1949, cornball. Corn squeezing.
Corn squeezing.
That's got to go in our dictionary.
Oh, yeah.
It just simply means corny or old-fashioned.
So if you wore a zoot suit in 1949, you were long hair, a cone husker. In other words, you don't send me a cornball.
1950, big brotherism. Which was the year, before George Orwell's 1984 came out.
Yeah.
Interesting.
1951, aw, shucks. Now that sounds like a word that would have been popular in 1951.
Yeah.
Once again, revolving around corn.
Indeed.
1952, baffle gab.
Is that like a cuss word?
No, it's actually, we need to probably adapt. We need to use this in our everyday discussions because it means wordy and generally unintelligible jargon. So
is this all show about baffle gab?
Yeah.
We need to trademark it and change our podcast to that.
1953, frenemy. I thought that was more recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Pretends to be a friend is actually an enemy. It says while it's still in use today, the slang term was popularized and added to Merriam-Webster in 1953. So
keep your friends close and your frenemies closer.
Yeah. 1954, rock and roll. It was a big year.
Yeah.
Do you know who coined the term?
Yes. What was his name? DJ in Cleveland.
I was going to say the DJ in Cleveland. Yep.
Alan Freed.
Nice.
Yeah.
1955, continuing with the kind of music genre, jazzed.
I'm all jazzed.
Full of excitement or enthusiasm. 1956, psychedelic. That seems a little early.
Yeah, I thought so.
1957, fantabulous.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, do you suppose these words, like we think, were new? They're newer because they cycled back around when we were young.
That's what I'm guessing. And normally I would see a list like this, and I would think, well, according to who, you know, that who made this letter? But all of them are apparently it gets given the year that they were that Merriam-Webster added them to the dictionary. So I think there's some, some fact checking capabilities there. 1958, rom-com. Now, I definitely am surprised that was so
romantic
early.
Comedy?
Romantic comedy?
Yeah.
Really?
Hmm.
I'm in shock.
1959, klutz.
Yo, klutz.
Klutz.
Lummox.
It has Yiddish origins.
Now, is that related, like in the Golden Girls? Sophia would always call Stan a yutz. Is yutz and klutz like same family language tree?
Are those like Yiddish sort of things?
Well, klutz is Yiddish, definitely. I'm assuming. There's a link from this. I'm not going to click on it because I'm afraid that 19 different pop-ups will come up, but there's a 30 useful Yiddish words anyone can use link.
Oh, yeah.
There's to be
always looking putt. For useful Yiddish words.
1960, doofus.
Huh.
It was either a substitute for the informal word goofus, or it was derived from the Scottish word doof. So it's kind of a combination between goofus and doof. It's
you're a thief.
Oh, look at him. 1961 Dishy.
Dishy?
Yeah. Assume if you're gossipy. Like if you, well, no. Actually, it says attractive or good-looking person.
Like a dish. They're a dish.
Yeah.
They're very dishy.
Nice. Hey, Todd, can I chime in here? We're down to about 9 minutes-ish.
Yeah. Do we have anybody? Some
birth years here? And
yeah, I can't see that there are people chiming in.
Okay, I'll put the comment up and you can read good. Okay, so Amy is 1978, as is your wife, 1978.
All right. Give me a chance to scroll. Does this look scroll?
Scrolling.
1978. Snitty. It says you don't hear the word snitty much anymore, but it was a common slang word used in the late 70s to describe someone who's disagreeably ill-tempered. Comes from the word snit.
Yeah.
The word snit was used as early as 1939. So it took them that many years to just
40 years to make it. Put the TY on the end.
Yeah. Get an angry cow. It's bull snit.
You're full of snit, sir.
Had you gotten to 1962 yet? Because Jerry was 1962.
Let me see real quick. 1962. That's actually what we just left off. Baggies. If you saw someone wearing baggies in the 1962, you might be so kind as to offer them a belt.
Made an appearance in Surfing USA. You'll see them wearing their baggies.
Hurrah! Oh, yeah. All right. So we got Joe and Kyle, a pair of principals there. 1985.
Not a big Limp Bizkit fan. Let's see. 1985. Cool Beans. I say this every day in my classroom. Cool Beans, which means cool beans. Cool Express beans. Agreement or approval.
All right. We have Jim, 1965.
1965, we have hippie.
Hippie.
Comes from the word hip, which means cool or up to date.
Yeah, man, I'm a hippie.
Yeah, hippie.
That makes sense. That one fits. That seems like it would have been around the mid-60s.
Right. Let's see. I and Brady both were 1971.
Okay. 1971, trifecta. It's a
horse racing
term. Yep. Horse racing bet in which the first, second, third place finishers are chosen in the correct order.
All right.
Cool.
I'll do 1977 for myself real quick. Brewski.
As in beer?
As in beer. Yeah.
Josh Smith also shares your birth year there, 1977, with Brewski. Yeah.
Brewski. Basically, it's a combination of the word brew, as in brew beer, to brew beer, and the Slavic surname suffix ski.
Well,
Brewski.
Super Dave. 75, Super Dave.
How you doing, Super Dave?
1975.
Downsize.
Downsize.
Yeah. Downsizing.
Is that because we were in a recession with gas lines? Yes.
In the 70s, it was often used to describe automakers building smaller automobiles. And then in the 80s, it was used to reference the corporations cutting down their number of employees.
Right.
Yeah. Eventually used more with housing, like couples that are buying smaller houses after becoming empty nesters.
Todd, I'm just curious. I would like to know the slang term from 1983.
I can find that. 1983. Yep.
Yep.
That's anticlimactic because I was looking for like totally yep, and right. tubular and radical.
Well, you know, the 80s. Terms. Yeah. Chill Out, 1980.
Really?
B-Boy, 1982.
Most Dylan is B-Boy.
1986, McJob. Anyone else?
Right. Let's see. Jim just has a question. How early do you put up your Christmas tree? Apparently November 18th.
I have we have four of them up, James, and we typically put them up the weekend after Thanksgiving, but with as crazy and crappy as this year has been in many ways, we decided to add a little more Christmas cheer early. So
need some merriment.
Yeah, we are normally not this this early.
Gnarly. Was gnarly one of those words?
I don't know. I'm sure it was. I
asking there.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the end of the list and look. If we have no more requests on that, I'm going to go to the end of the list and see the most recent ones.
Anyone else with a birth year, go ahead and chime in. Todd, you can go to the end of the list.
2020, thirsty. A strong desire for attention, approval, or publicity.
I've heard it referred to as a longing for someone, like if someone saw Scarlett Johansson walking down the street, they would feel thirsty. It's like a synonym for that kind of thing.
2019, this word can just go right away, and that is bay.
B-A-E, bay.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with boo.
2018, hangry. I'm surprised that's this recent.
I was saying hangry long before 2018.
Long it was added. Merriam-Webster added it in 2018. But I agree. We were saying that.
Celia's asking about 2005.
Why 2000? Oh, I'm assuming I know that one. We could go years of graduation if we have a couple minutes. On brand, meaning. Doesn't say what it means.
I'm with you there, Joe. 2020 dumpster fire.
How about the year we I graduated in 95. So let's see. Noob.
Ah.
Noob.
You guys graduated in 89. Beat down.
Nice.
Emphatic or overwhelming defeat or an actual violent physical beating. A beat down.
Give him a beat down.
So you graduated in 96. Face palm in 96. I was actually thinking that was more recent. Face palm,
face plant.
Super Dave, 1993.
Super Dave. Perfect, Dave. Booty call.
Super Dave, was booty call in your lexicon back in 1993?
Be careful.
I know you remember this.
Listening.
One of the earliest uses of the slang term was hip hop duo, Deuce, D-U-I-C-E, Deuce, like juice, but with a D, maybe?
Do ice.
Who released a song called Booty Call on their 1993 album, Daisy Dukes, spelled Dazzy Ducks, D-A-Z-Z-E-Y-D-U-K-S.
Jim, 1984.
I'm on it, Jim. Let's see. Geeked.
We're
geeked. Filled with excitement or enthusiasm. Geeked.
Jen, 1990.
Whoa, Jen. How you doing? Let's see. 1990. Spam.
Spam. Yeah,
that's when the Merriam people recognized it and added it to the dictionary. Spam. Not the spam, not the good kind of spam in a can.
Or treat.
The poor man's treat.
Smeet.
1994. Did we do 94? That's my wife's graduation year as well.
We did. Popo.
Popo.
That comes from cops, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Is that what it means?
Yeah, it says, which formally added to Merriam-Webster in 1984 is just a reduplication of the initial syllable po.
Nice. 1976, that's when my wife was born.
Okay, 76.
Bicentennial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think a disco term of some kind.
1976 was tood.
Tood, as in attitude?
As in cocky or arrogant tood.
Don't give me any tood. Then final 1997.
Less than three. Josh, sorry.
Sorry. 1997. Another term I don't like, judgy.
Judgy. Don't judgy. Be judgy.
Derived from the word judgmental.
Are you being judgy of the term judgy?
I mean, is judgmental that difficult where we have to shorten it to judgy?
Judgy does feel a little bit forced, like they're trying to be too cool. Yeah.
It's kind of like having a remote control for your car stereo player, your car stereo. Is really reaching out 17 inches from your chest that difficult?
I've never vocalized that, but I've always thought that. Like, what am I supposed to? I've never used my remote for my car stereo. I don't even know what happens. I just put them in the glove compartment.
Yeah. Well, and back in the day, you got you a piece of Velcro and you stuck it to the back of the remote and you Velcroed it to the actual stereo. And then you just reached it there and pushed the damn remote control anyway.
I might be guilty of this a little bit, you know, because sometimes technology is cool because it's technology, but I do like this. I have an LED light that my bedroom light is hooked up to Alexa. So when I walk in the room, I just have to go, Alexa, turn on Galaxy AI, and my light comes on.
You say it like that? Alexa, turn on Galaxy AI.
Well, I got to sleep talker a little bit.
Who is this creep talking to me?
It's like, you do not have to talk to me like that, but I will turn the light on. No, it was, it's pretty cool. Like, it could be argued that flipping the switch is easier, but there's something really cool about when you're laying in bed and it's time to get up. You just say, Alexa, turn on Galaxy AI. Boom, comes on. Or if you're in the other room and your hands are full. But it kind of falls under almost like the remote control car thing. But I'm going to at least make a logical argument for the Alexa thing. I can't make a logical argument for a remote control stereo in your car.
Yeah. I mean, those seem to get big
from the back seat, maybe.
Those seem to get big in the 90s. I remember the mid to late 90s people.
Yeah. Now there is the little
the CD changer,
you know, where you could take off the console part so nobody could steal it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't know.
So Kyle says same logic with Popo versus police with a hyphen. You're only saving one letter. Why is this our best effort?
I agree, Kyle.
It's true. Two have chimed in, Jerry and Mrs. Wilson. Nothing better than the clapper for lights. Alexa doesn't do it. It's the old lady doing the clapper.
Alexa doesn't do the lights?
Yeah, I have Alexa does my lights. That was my whole thing. She's hooked up to my
Does Alexa light. Does Alexa though, do you often call for Alexa accidentally? Like, does she hear her name when you're not even saying it?
She does. In fact, she's probably doing it right now, but what was funny, my daughter was getting some free throw shooting lessons from a basketball player, and her name happened to be Alexa. So we said, what time are you going to see Alexa? And she said something like, I am here for your commands or something like that. And it was kind of weird because we were talking about another Alexa.
Your wish is my command.
At least 25 times a week when I say Celia's name, like if I'm in the other room or something, my Siri thinks I'm talking to her and starts asking me what I want. So then I got Celia yelling, what do you want? I got Siri asking, what do you want? Damn it all. I just get frustrated. Yeah. They sound nothing. I mean, Celia, Siri. Yeah.
I don't know why Bixby gets all upset. I don't know what I'm saying.
Bill Bigby.
All right. That's topic number two. Moving on to our game.
Game time.
All right. Our game today is hands down, this game will spill the beans on the origins of expressions. So the way this is going to work, and we need audience participation here because you will be the ultimate judge, audience.
You're going to get judgy.
Yes, you're going to get judgy right now. Okay, so I'm going to read a card with which has an expression written on it, plus the origin of said expression. Brady and Todd will guess to their best of their ability as to the origin of said expression. And then we, me and the audience, get to decide who is closest to the actual origin. All right. Are we ready?
As I'll ever be.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The expression is everything but the kitchen sink. Everything but the kitchen sink. And Brady, did you have something to write with? I forgot to ask.
Oh, do I have to write it down?
I do. Gotta write it. Whoa.
Well, I mean, we don't want you to.
Are you accusing us of malfeasance like we would be?
Well, no, I mean, whoever goes first may cause the other one. I mean, I guess you could say if you want. I'd charge you all to.
The hell you say?
Okay, we're getting off the rails here. Okay, so everything but the kitchen sink. I guess we can just say it instead of writing it. So we drew straws backstage. Todd, everything but the kitchen sink. What do you think?
Okay, I think, man, my brain doesn't work this way. I'm worried about this game. I'm supposed to try to come up with its origin.
Where did the
correct?
Expression come from? Yes.
I'm thinking the expression came from gangsters.
Okay.
No. I'm trying to think like bank robbers or some sort of thievery, some sort of crime, and the whole idea was to steal everything that wasn't battened down.
Battened down, as in the hatches.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good, Brady.
You kind of stepped where I was going to step a little bit. It was anything that if people had to move out quickly, that they took everything that they could pack readily. It's like, man, they moved so quick, they took everything but the kitchen sink.
Okay, so there's a difference there. I mean, Todd says it's thievery. Brady says it's just moving quickly because you have to, right?
Yes.
Am I hearing that right? Okay. So the actual origin of the expression, everything but the kitchen sink, is this expression arose from World War II when people were asking to contribute everything they had to the war effort other than the kitchen sink.
Oh, gotcha.
So audience, do you think Todd's example or guess was thievery was closer to the actual origin, or was Brady's, where he said that people had to move quickly?
What if neither one of us are anywhere close?
Yeah.
We're nowhere close.
I guess.
You deserve nothing.
Can we get 0 points each?
0 points. Jim says Brady.
He just doesn't like my Christmas trees.
Yes, he's salty because of your Christmas cheer. Your wife voted against you, Todd.
That's it.
Joe Brady closer. Jerry Brady closer.
Joe, them's fighting words, buddy.
Actually, it's literal because he literally just lives around the bend for me.
Thank you, Howard.
Howard says neither. Yeah. Josh says Brady.
Okay, man, we were born the same year, Josh.
Josh says, since it was the government involved, it would be Todd. That's a good point.
Thank you, Josh.
As Celia doesn't like your Christmas trees either. Is that what he's getting at? Is that what Kyle's saying? Okay, I think Brady won that point. So Brady won
by a sliver, a splinter.
Yes.
All right. Next expression. We'll let Brady go first on this one. The expression is through thick or thin. Through thick or thin.
I know.
You know for sure?
No.
I've got an idea.
Yes.
Okay. I know how it's used. Like, you know, gonna stick with them through thick or thin. And I think somebody was eating gruel or soup and they were going to eat this, whether it was thick and hearty or greasy and thin and runny. So,
do you mean like one person was eating chili and one person was eating chili soup?
Well, more like this person was going to eat what was in the bowl. They were sticking with it.
Porridge?
Whether the gruel, whether the porridge was thick or thin.
Okay. Gotcha. Todd?
All right. I'm going to say that this was a reference to weight gain and weight loss. I'm going to say that this is something along the lines of sticking with someone through the comforts of when you're married for a while and you start to have to loosen the belt because of all the takeout pizza pies.
Tread lightly. Yeah,
because all the takeout pizza pies and the eating, everybody's busy, you're working, you don't have time to eat as healthy. So we've all been there. So I'm thinking it's pretty literal. It's sticking with someone through the ups and downs of weight gain, weight loss,
feast or famine,
et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Through thick or thin. The actual origin is from medieval Europe, when thick and thin blocks were used in pulley systems, allowing ropes of different sizes to move through the pulleys.
I am confident in saying I don't even want to listen to the audience. Neither one of us is ever this one.
All right. So Brady's description of through thick or thin meaning porridge of varying thickness. And Todd's description of sticking with someone, whether they let themselves go or not. I believe the audience.
It's anonymous.
Neither.
Neither.
LOL. Neither. No points granted. And I believe we wish goodwill to your soul or whatever that is. I don't know. But
yeah.
a valiant effort, though, I guess. All right. So next term, we will get 0 points. The audience is very, very tough. Cool.
Yeah.
We need to play this game where we try to fool the audience into picking our definition by way of being confident when we deliver it. And then see who can fool the audience. Maybe next time.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Jerry says I got a point.
There we go. I kind of feel like we got the two old guys on the Muppet Show and a balcony criticizing us.
That's true. All right. The next term is scot-free. Scot-free. Todd?
Man, scot-free. I'm thinking that this harkens back to the early 30s when a gentleman named Scotty Freeman got sorry. What?
Go ahead.
Scott Freeman, Scotty Freeman, was able to rob a bank and get by with it. And then he was so successful, he robbed another bank and got by with it. And eventually, he was a wanted man, Scotty Freeman. And so that just became the term. If people got away with something, it was you got off scot-free.
Dude, yeah. That was a brilliant answer.
That was brilliant.
Take it to the bank. It's right. Go ahead and give him my points. Give him my points, audience. The bank, you know? No need to even hear Brady's.
Brady.
If you could drop the mic without making noise, you should. There we go. I was gonna go back, like, that proper London residents probably did not care for Scottish folk because of their bad food and karate. And so it's like, hey, we made it through this trip, or we made it through this restaurant visit or store visit, and we didn't run into annoying Scottish people, so it was scot-free.
You just lost the Scottish vote, Brady. Just lost the Scottish vote.
You did. And then first of all, I'll say I'm going, and we got Brady's answer there. So Joe says Todd is a gifted BSer, which yeah.
He knows this.
Miss Wilson says, are we going to put Scotty Free's story on the website? Yeah, probably should do that in the
worth host this next episode.
Take it right to Wikipedia. Take it right to Wikipedia. It's 100% factual.
All right. So Danny says, wow, Brady. I think he, as I thought, yours was an equally big load of BS.
Yes, at least I didn't insult an entire country.
Not a country. It's under the thumb of Her Majesty.
Howard William has an answer. It refers to wearing nothing under the kilt, which again, very, very well could be. But in this case,
wearing his bagpipes,
scot free.
Free bagpiping. That's called the trying to make a Blarney Stone reference. Is that Scottish or Irish? I don't know.
That's Irish. It's Irish.
Okay. All right.
Okay. The term Scot is a Scandinavian term referring to taxes. In the Middle Ages in England, the term scot-free meant you were avoiding paying taxes. You got off scot-free.
I got to get those points on that one.
Brilliant spin of a scot-free on their lederhosen and their lutefisk.
Oh, Josh.
Josh had voted neither before I even read the actual origins.
Okay. I guess he wants to change his answer.
Do you want to hear something like really embarrassing? I wasn't BSing. I thought that I was in the ballpark with that.
I thought I was too. I'm not lying either. Thank you, Jim.
Jim says Todd. Oh. Jerry says Brady. All right,
Jerry's not listening.
It's 1-1. As we wait in bated anticipation, Todd and Scotty Free, the wife gets a vote for you.
If I got Celia's vote,
Scotty Freeman, by the way.
Todd at least mentioned money. Is that a vote crime for Todd, Joe? And I will go.
I was just mentioning food and discrimination.
All right, 3 for Todd, 1 for Brady. We'll give it a few more seconds here for any other votes.
What I forgot to mention.
Yes, Howard, scat.
What I forgot to mention is,
slow to crap.
Besides being one of the most successful bank robbers, Mr. Scotty Freeman was also a tax evader to beat the band.
And he hated the English.
And again, you insult another
group
of people.
We are nationwide, Brady. Careful now.
We're worldwide. We're insulting our audience.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Worldwide. Yeah.
Hey, that is my ancestry over there. I can make fun of our own.
Well, wait. You told us your ancestry has changed like 3 times this year. You've done your DNA swabs, and it keeps changing.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
All right, Howard says Brady, and the other brother, McLean, says Todd. So we have a split
family there on the vote.
But I believe in the end, it is Todd that gets the point. So our score is Brady 1, Todd 1. Maybe I should
grab a shillelagh. I don't agree.
Should I grant myself the point that Jerry gave me and make it 1-1-1?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Sure, but Chuck Woolery never took any points.
2-2.
2-2.
That's what I would take.
Either did Richard Dawson. He only took kisses right to the mouth.
That's true. So did Gene Rayburn.
So did Charles Nelson Reilly, but
not the women, though. Did I say that? I'm sorry.
You mean?
All right. Third degree is the term.
Like when you give somebody the third degree?
Yes.
Am I first?
My turn?
Yes, Todd, your turn.
Okay.
Todd's turn.
Wait, my turn.
Todd goes first.
Yeah.
I thought he did Scotty Freeman. His story was first.
It is, because Brady got the first point. That's nobody got the second point. Okay. Yep.
Brady, go ahead.
All right. Wow, I'm digging deep on this one. When you give someone the third degree, it's because you are in the local Masonic Lodge, and you are almost like a Shriner. And when you're giving somebody the third degree, you're kind of condescending because they're not as high up in the Masonic order. And okay. So you're the fourth degree, but if you're giving somebody the third degree, you're kind of insulting them because, you know, they don't get to wear the cool, funny hat and drive the little car. So you were calling them.
And yet you insult another group of people. Thank you very much. There goes our Shriner listeners.
Well, no, Shriners are a bigger deal. They're a more accomplished Mason.
All right.
So it's got something to do with the Masonic Lodge, but I'm kind of adding. So it's got something to do with somebody being a lesser degree in the Masons as someone else.
Okay. Todd?
Okay. I'm here to tell you guys, words burn. And sometimes they can burn a little bit. Sometimes they can burn a lot. And the level at which they burn could be known as the degree in which they burn. So if you are giving someone the third degree, you are essentially singeing them with your words. So
searing.
That's where it came from. Third degree birds burns. Not birds, burns.
A heated rhetoric.
It's a reference to, again, hurting someone with your words to the point of them feeling burned, them feeling injured.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to put Howard's comment up here first, because I think it encapsulates here the truth of the matter. Okay, great. Brady, you're in the right neighborhood, but the wrong house. Okay, so the expression third degree comes from
Kiwanis.
Masonic lodges.
Ooh.
Where there are 3 degrees of membership. The third level or degree is the most difficult and involves intense questioning. So you're giving someone the third degree.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so.
Well, then Brady easily gets that point. Hell, he was right.
Need to vote here.
No, he was right. I didn't know he was going to know any of these.
I'm not sandbagging. The only reason I said that is because I listened to a podcast a few weeks ago about the Masons, like a little historical thing, and about the degrees of Masonry. And I swear to God that I don't know where that term came, but it was just talk about degrees of Masonry, and I pulled that out of my fez.
Yeah, I was going to go karate if I didn't go burn, so I would have been wrong either way.
All right. Jim says there are 3 degrees, bachelor's, master's, and PhD post-hole digger. Kyle, third degree, insert Danielson and the crane kick.
Yeah, that's Kyle. Degree, I was thinking karate there.
Karate kid too, yeah. Howard corrects you and puts you in the right house in the right neighborhood. In order to be a Shriner, you must first be a Mason. So Shriners are
higher up.
Yeah. Jerry votes for Brady. Danny has had the third degree.
Oh.
So there you go. Brady plus one. And I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion on that one.
That really was quite spontaneous. I had no idea I was sniffing at the right lodge on that one.
Yes, you did have an idea. You just said you listened to a podcast last week that talked about it.
That was grasping at straws, because that's when I heard degrees. Like, and I had no idea.
I was grasping at straws.
I did like your answer, though, Todd.
Yeah.
I had some good reasons.
I actually like it better.
Well, see, my answer, I didn't even really try to get the answer right. I just wanted to help people.
Well, there you go. I always help.
Probably wasn't successful. That's right.
I like it.
It's all about the theme for me.
Brady.
But I'm down 2-1. Give me a chance.
Grandpa was a third degree and a Shriner, as Celia's grandpa was.
Did he ever get a little car?
Howard has also had the third degree. So
he was way too big to fit one of those little cars.
All right. Next term. Run the gauntlet. Run the gauntlet.
Can you use that in a sentence?
Are we in a spelling bee?
Put you on the spot there.
I'm afraid if I use it in a sentence, then it will give you some insight as to what it is.
No, like use it in a modern, like use it in a modern way, like something topical now, like something.
Going through that situation was like running the gauntlet. It was so tough. I don't know.
Okay.
Now Jake says you need to go back.
I'm gonna say that it stems
from your degree, Todd. Go ahead. Sorry.
What was it?
Jake says you need to go back to the entered apprentice degree. Talking about your third degree.
I don't know, Jake, but thank you. See here. Running the gauntlet. I am first, right?
You are first.
Okay. I think this goes back to a contest, a tough man contest, a battle of strength, a battle of willpower, a battle of,
brawn,
one-upsmanship, a battle of fortitude, testicular fortitude,
intestinal fortitude.
I'm going to keep it. I'm sure you do. I'm going to keep it simple. Testicular fortitude. That's a Ric Flair conference. That's what I mean. A Ric Flair reference. I believe he was a sayer of that. I'm going to go ahead and say that it was it stems from having to get through something in order to show that you are the toughest, in order to, I don't know, maybe win a bride or something, or maybe win a, I don't know, maybe just a good old fashioned tough man contest. Where the winner takes all.
Okay.
Chapman.
Brady?
When I think of running the gauntlet, I think of my friend Doug's front yard. And I think of like a minefield. Because oftentimes when we would walk through Doug's front yard, we made reference that we were running or walking the cat poop gauntlet. Because there were some feral cats around and they would leave their fecal surprises and intestinal distress all over his yard. And you would have to dodge them like a minefield. You'd have to walk the cat poop gauntlet, which Damon lost one time. That was mentioned.
Well, I was going to say, our friend Damon lost one time. So whoever the custodian was at the then brand new Ripley High School that had to deal with the mess in the bathroom that Damon left after having his scraping his shoes off from
he expunged his shoe of the evidence of the cat poop gauntlet.
Oh my gosh!
So it was horrible. It was in my car.
I can still smell it.
Oh, I can too. That's the funny part, you know. And but like it's like dodging obstacles, like whether it be swinging clubs, dodging fists, or stepping around cat poop.
Fish.
No, literal fist, not play it by your fist. I guess you could if you were around a seal feeding station, but yeah, it's like kind of avoiding obstacles, harmful obstacles, unpleasant obstacles.
All right. Okay. The term run the gauntlet is based on an old military punishment when a soldier who needed to be punished had to run down a line of fellow soldiers on either side who beat them with sticks as they passed.
Toughman contest.
Toughman contest.
As I said.
Dodging obstacles. I mean, there are good, in my mind, there are good pieces to each of these answers.
This is truly going to go to the audience.
So we leave it to the audience to determine.
Is it Toughman or is it Obstacles?
Obstacles.
The Greek god of chance.
You beat me to it.
What?
I said you beat me to it.
Great minds.
So the obstacles were essentially pillowcases filled with bars of soap, I'm assuming.
If you're in the movie Full Metal Jacket, yes.
Yeah. Code Red.
I guess I need to put the comments screen up here.
Yes. What do we got?
All right. Josh says Todd wins that one. He ran the FFA gauntlet on Green Hand Day.
God, isn't that hazing?
Toddy G.
Thank you, Howard. Thank you, Josh.
And Brady. It's a tie.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
Todd says
thank
Jim.
You, James.
Todd says Jerry.
Man. Jerry. I had to work hard to earn Jerry's vote. That was...
Mrs. Wilson says Todd.
I think I lessened my effectiveness by tying it to cat poop.
That old chestnut.
Danny says both get a point. Joe Rocky, Todd. So I believe we will call this point for Todd. Now Howard says he thought Obstacles was the Greek god of stubbornness. Could very well be. All right, so hold on.
I got it. To break
it is a 2-2 tie. So we are down to our last origin term, whatever you want to say. All right, so
God, what are you drinking out of? That looks
gallon
like one of
water jug
bottles.
See, and I get little motivational phrases throughout the day to keep me.
Got it. That's it. Oh my God, my bladder.
Keep drinking. No excuses.
My bladder is distended.
My onion's busting.
Your co-teacher's tired of watching your class while you go pee.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you say my onion is busting?
Because it looks like an onion in a health book.
All right. Final term for the win.
Oh, by urethra.
Pan out. Pan out. Pan out.
Wow.
So who's first?
Brady.
Fudge.
Howard says he needs that for beer, by the way, Todd.
I've thought about it.
All right. I know what pan out means the way we use it, but the origins. Okay. Here's my guess. Good gosh. I know that when one pans out, the camera moves backwards. So what I'm thinking, there is an attachment on the camera to reflect light, and they made it from a pan. So when they were backing up, they had to take the pan out so the lens could see more. That's all I got.
Was Seymour the cameraman?
Seymour.
Seymour.
Take the pen out. We're walking here. Because they had to remove the pan to get a bigger angle. So you're panning out.
Okay. Todd?
Okay.
I took a lot of effort. A lot of effort? A big sigh.
1948 was the year. Fresh out of chef school.
Chef school?
Willie Fryman was opening up a restaurant, and he was worried that his food wouldn't cut the mustard. So he would try food. He would make dishes, and he would bring the food out and have taste tests and things like that. And as his newly hired staff was coming aboard, he would ask them, you know, hey, is this will this cut the mustard? Will this work? Will this satisfy the customer? And he would serve it obviously in a pan. And so his staff would tell him, yes, that will pan out, meaning you can pan that out to your guest and they will enjoy it. So essentially, because pan out means work out, it will work out. So it has to do with food and working out. Not working out as in exercising, as in successfully cooking the food and serving it to your customers who are satisfied with it.
So food leaving the pan.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Dadgone.
I have a feeling that you two are going to be very upset with yourselves when you hear the actual origin of this term.
I'm proud of my answer, though.
Well, I did enjoy your answer. But I'm going to put Kyle's comment up here.
Ooh. Yeah, you're probably right, Kyle.
So pan out goes back to the early gold rush days when prospectors would pan for gold. When they did get lucky enough to find gold at the bottom of their pans, they said it panned out.
I think they would say it panned in.
See, right before you brought up the gold rush thing, I was having buyer's remorse. Because I'm thinking of panning out as backing up. And all I could think of is like a hospital orderly backing up because the bad pan was full.
You've seen Revenge of the Nerds way too many times.
Yeah. The bad pan needed to come out, and that's why everybody was backing up. But I really did think it had something to do with the camera.
The audience was basically 100% on this. They all answered it before you all got done with that malarkey you were dishing out. So,
you're welcome.
Point for the audience, right?
Yeah.
Man.
But it's still 2-2.
Man.
So I think still need a tiebreaker here.
Well, hang on a minute.
I didn't allow the audience to vote. I guess I should do that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Audience, are you going with the first answer that Brady gave of panning the camera out, or are you going with the second answer Todd gave about what was the guy's name?
His name was Willie Fryman.
Scotty Free.
No, Willie Fryman was this one. But think about it. His pan filled with gold for your stomach panned out. Like when you have good food in there, it's gold. It's money. You make money with it.
Oh, now you're reaching.
Can I buy it? Hey.
So, audience, Jerry Jewell says I get two, so now we're all tied. Danny says zero.
Zero.
Todd says neither, or Kyle says neither of your answers panned out. Mrs. Wilson, you haven't even gotten her neither. None. Null set.
It's offensive.
Got neither. Jen with a Todd vote.
Thank you, Jen.
Danny says capital BS.
See, Brady's
panning a camera, Brady, means moving left to right. You dolly or track in or out.
Mr. Mary Pan.
Howard and his knowledge. We don't need none of that knowledge. If it's not a podcast
yet, here knowledge is not part of it.
Or what do you do? Run a museum or something? Which he does, which is why that's funny for the that you don't know Howard.
I'm guessing neither of you got a point there. So I think we're going to have to
Whoa.
I guess you did get a vote, didn't you? Yeah. Jen voted for you.
Oh, come on. Somebody had to. What is that?
The ball I had it just for this occasion.
I'm with Brady. What is that?
It looks like a hot dog that's come to life and sprouted legs.
It's a stress bossman.
Okay, so now Kyle has voted for Brady.
Oh, no, Kyle already voted. Well, we can go one more.
Okay, yeah. I think we need a definitive answer here. Now, Celia, you both suck. This is the bottom line.
Honey.
Miss Wilson knows that's a stress boss.
Thank you, Miss Wilson. Yes, it is a stress boss.
Mr. Bill's had a bad day.
Jerry says all that was a sack out, which. All right, so here's never our tiebreaker noticed. Right here.
Tiebreaker.
All right, the tiebreaker is paint the town red. Paint the town red.
All right, so I think I'm first.
You are first.
You are.
I think this is a term. First of all, let's break it down. Let's break the phrase down. When we're talking, I'm going to start backwards. Red. Red is the color of embarrassment. So this is going to have to do with causing town-wide embarrassment.
Okay.
And then painting is not referring to the act of physically painting. It's referring to the way you leave people when you leave, the way people are when you leave, the feeling that you leave with them. The impression. I think paint the town red is something that you did to bring dishonor to the town, either to your family or to something to do with the town, and you've left them embarrassed, and you have been banished, and you've left behind an embarrassed town. Hanging their head in shame.
Okay. Brady?
I'm going to go a different direction. I think of conquering the town, and in days of old, when knights were bold, when one conquered the town, they left, you know, blood. They slayed people. They slayed the townsfolk. And they painted the town red their blood, but it's not literally an act of violence. It is conquering the town like you partied so hard. You were so awesome that you painted the town red. So it's like an analogy for an analogy. You conquered the town and partied it. And how did they do it back in olden times when they conquered the town? They painted it red with the defeated blood, you know, the bloody remains of that of the vanquished. So okay. There we go.
All right. So paint the town red. Now, before we get started here, I'll put Jim's comment up there to you both. Hope you don't spend that crap in your class. and I will second that. You know, I think you could probably sell it, but I hope you don't spend it.
Talking to me or Brady?
I'm talking to you both, really.
Hang on a minute. Was this game called Get Our Ass Lectured by Everybody? Because that's what it's turning into.
I believe that is what it has turned into. All right.
It's not so easy, man.
Paint the town red. I think I know what Kyle's vote will be, but I'm not knowing anything else here. And Kyle says old wartime, referencing mass casualties, bloodshed, etc.
Point, Todd.
Ooh. Kyle's like, what?
All right. The actual origin of paint the town red. In 1800s England, the Marquis of Waterford and his friends.
Now the Marquis de Sade.
No, not Marquis de Sade. That would be actual blood.
Biz Marquis.
The Marquis of Waterford. Marquis of Waterford and his friends went out for a night on the town, painting a number of buildings in the village red.
Oh, don't raise
bringing
your hand.
Bringing shame to their family. Bringing shame and embarrassment to their family.
Conquering
for their,
it.
For their adolescent painting skills and their disrespect for the town.
Or the buildings. Town they killed to get the paint, to paint it.
All right, so audience, is it Todd's bringing disrespect and shame to the village? Or was it Brady's painting the town with the blood of vanquished enemies or frenemies?
Frenemies.
We'll pull that off again.
We are a bit behind as far as what the audience is seeing, so we have to kind of spread this out here and wait for them to vote. So is it Todd or is it Brady?
Eric
Howard. Howard says Brady. Mrs. Wilson says Todd. Jerry says, well, Celia says Todd. Comments are fast and furious. Jerry says Brady. Joe says Todd. Danny's going with Todd's wrong answer. All right.
Love well, here.
It's looking like Todd and Howard to Toddy G once again.
Thank you. I actually think that's the closest I've been all night, to be honest with you.
I think you're right. And
there's nothing about bloodshed in that answer, Brady.
Gary was expecting 1947 Red Painterton.
I forgot about old Red.
And Jim with Todd as well. So Todd, with the victory.
I feel like I should do a pre-election. Do you want the candidate who purports shame, or do you want the candidate that purports violence and conquering?
Apparently, they want the candidate that purports shame.
Plus, maybe I know a thing or two about painting a town red. You ever think I was speaking from experience?
Todd with the win, 3-2.
Why do you think I don't live in Sardinia anymore?
Yeah, that's back in a cul-de-sac. Do you paint your sack red all the time?
No, because in
my story,
we cut the sacks off of those that we conquer.
Is that a sack out?
Oh, my goodness. No, I didn't think you could see that.
All right. Good topic. Thank you, audience, for your input and declaration of Todd's victory in that game of hands down. This game will spill the beans on the origin of expressions.
It's a long title.
We have a bonus, very long title. Some bonus content and play another two rounds. I feel wronged.
Brady, now you can't. I believe this is the first game you've lost.
Yeah.
No.
Typically, I get way ahead and then he comes from behind and beats me. That's typically what happens. Yeah.
That's true. It happened the other way around this time.
Yeah.
All right. So thank everyone for tuning in here on the episode 36 of the Play It By Ear podcast. The audio version will come out on Friday, so look for that. And we made an announcement. If you are late to the show, we have a website now. Please visit it. It is www.playitbyearpodcast.com. And you can register there with your email address. You can get updates about the show and register as an official earbud.
Read our bios. Read our bios.
Yes. We painstakingly put biographies together for the website under Meet the Hosts. I guess I can share the website again here real quick. If I can remember what tab it's under. There it is. Our playitbyear.com website. And again, the aforementioned Meet the Host, you can look at our biographies at your leisure.
Can I chime in a couple things, Eric?
Absolutely.
You know, since we've been taking this thing to higher levels of technology and we're doing the live recordings now, I want to kind of go back to when we first started and kind of ask for some assistance with things like voicemails. You know, now that we've been doing this, we haven't been saying you could leave us a voicemail, but they still have that option, don't they, Eric, to leave us a voicemail?
Voice messages.
Yeah, leave us a voice message, and we could play it. I'm assuming we could play it during the Facebook Live. I don't know that, but...
Yeah,
we can
do that.
Also, just...
Through the message.
Just chiming into our Facebook comments and things like that. That's something we've kind of gotten away from a little bit. You know, if there's any other vehicles that we didn't have on the list tonight, feel free to chime in on that as well. So we haven't been kind of asking for that lately. So it would be nice to hear from some people. And
indeed.
Yeah.
Are you guys seeing the website? Because I'm seeing a different screen.
I'm seeing the website. The cars. Okay. I'm seeing the website at the bottom, though. The
address. I was trying to show the actual page.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I was seeing the website address, but I was seeing the cars that the vehicles we were referring to in segment one.
I just realized that we are 20 minutes away from curfew.
Yes,
that just starts with tomorrow, so.
You got to stop podcasting.
Okay. Also, Eric, you might want to talk about things. I'll segue to this. You might want to tell them about Thanksgiving next week. Go ahead.
Thanksgiving next week. We usually do this on Wednesday nights, as we have been. Next week will be on Tuesday night. We know Thanksgiving Eve is a time where people, even though the governor's put us under a curfew, people are busy with other things, getting ready for the holiday and such. So we will do our broadcast next week on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. So we will send that event out on Facebook, and we will invite people, and please join us. Again, your input is awesome. We love what you add to the show. And, I believe you all have taken us to another level. So, again, thank you for that.
Humbling. Yeah.
I'm guilty of kind of sitting back and just wanting to see what the audience is saying and our listeners are saying. And, you know, most are people we know. I don't know everyone. I mean, between the three of us, we typically know who's chiming in. And it's really cool to see. I really like the way we've kind of welcomed people into this and definitely have made it a lot of fun.
Yes. And those of you, by the way, who are watching, we're broadcasting to our individual Facebook pages as well as the podcast page. Also, please go to the podcast Facebook page and like the page so you can add yourself there as well. Mm-hmm. So do the register on the website, go to the podcast Facebook page, and the link is on the website as well. So a lot of different ways to interact with us, and we appreciate all of them. And again, remember next week we will be on Tuesday
and 7 o'clock.
7 p.m. Yes. Anything else for the good of the order, gentlemen?
Just a big thank you. And thank you for tuning in and listening. This was a lot of fun. You guys keep it fun, and thank you for being our earbuds.
All right. Stress Ball says peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Play It By Ear podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter at Play It By Ear Pod 2, and our website at anchor.fm/Play It By Ear podcast. Thanks again, and join us next time as we play it by ear.